Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Seven-four, one of Neil Peart's favorite time signatures. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Turn it up. Neil. And pray. Dusty show, Clay Pigeon in the driver's seat in the captain's chair.
But when he got a government, always hope for your discontent. Those changes are permanent. More changes.
You like Rush? The reviews are mixed here at FMU. Some people love them, some people hate them. Sign of a great band. No apathy. 3 minutes after six, Dusty Show. Taking my shirt off, shirtless.
Exit the warrior. Today's Tom Sawyer. He gets high on you, and the energy's a train. He gets right on to the friction of the day.
Salute to Canada on today's Dusty Show. At least for now, I'm holding with the concept. Minds can change. KHD says you can hate Rush, but you can't hate this song. I have no crossfading capability. This song to me marked kind of the early stages of the prog resurgence, a little early, but they saw it coming. Takes Canada to do that sometimes. Saga.
I see the
fun, you guys. Zopa loves this shaving cream. Says, yeah, thanks, Clay. Man, I hope some Canadian is proud right now. Proud of your saga. Come on. No one can stop me now. Oh. Tonight I'm on the loose. No one to tell me. Stomp out the accents with me. This is some Bush League local production. I don't know how these Saga Boys did it. Does it mean they were popular in Canada before the States? Can you do that? Have a whole separate career? Bah! I love staccato. Staccato is tension. Staccato is in the moment. It is now staccato. Prickling at you like little tines of a comb. Ah! And then the saddening glissandos. Any chump can play legato. It takes precision and confidence to play staccato. Cecile can't hang. We'll be reaching for in Minnesota. No one can stop us now. Tonight we're all that weight of Canada bearing down. No one to tell us how. Tonight we're on the loose. No one can stop us now. Tonight we're on the loose. I do have Anne Murray. Some triumph in there, always living in the shadow of Rush. Made inroads in the American rock charts. They love Rick Emmett in Canada.
Got the magic power of the music in me. I'm young.
I was young.
I'm wild.
I was wild.
Free.
Oh, good Lord, I was free.
Got the magic power of the music in me.
This is April Wine from Canada. As our tribute to the Great White North continues this hour on 420. 10 minutes after six, a long way to go. Keep it here on The Dusty Show, April Wine.
Tonight,
try you. Four 20, 11 after 6. Better than a sea. Run in place.
She's young now, she's wild now, she wants to be free. She cuts the magic power of the music for me. She's young now, she's wild now, she wants to be free. She gets the magic power of the music for me.
DDR says Triumph, lay it on the line. We used to say, lay out another line, the magic powder.
Just get sorted out. Do you want someone to tell you what they think it's all about? Are you the one and only who said and only you'll reach out for the top? Well, the music keeps you going and it's never gonna stop. It's never gonna stop.
I'd let a Canadian caller scream right now as long as they wanted to. Never gonna, never gonna stop. 201-209-9368. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. We'll do it live. Dusty Show, anybody there?
Oh, hi. Hello. How's it going?
What do you want to say about Canada? Say it loud, man.
Canada.
Say it loud.
I'm a big fan of Canada. I love Canada. Canada is it's a great place.
Are you feeling 420 today? Are you partying a little bit?
Oh, I'm a 420 cheap toker every day.
Oh, man. 13 after 6. What do you want to tell people out there? A message of love.
I'm not sure if 420 every day, legalize it.
Can you scream real quick as I turn you down?
Oh, scream?
Yeah, scream bloody murder.
Oh, legalize it, 420 every day.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, now the phone's lit up. But we got Joni.
Love came to my door with a sleeping roll and a madman's soul. He thought for sure I'd seen him dancing up a river in the dark, looking for a woman to court and spark.
Title track from Court and Spark. Pivotal album in that career. 14 after 6. Stay with me, Dusty.
He was playing on the sidewalk for passing change when something strange happened. Glory train passed through him, so he buried the coins he made in People's Park and went looking for a woman to court and spark. Seemed like he read my mind. He saw me mistrusting him and still acting kind. He saw how I worried sometimes.
How worried sometimes. This little synthesizer back. This is a masterpiece. The phones are ringing. Should I take it? It's gonna ruin the song.
All the guilty people, they said they've all seen the stain on their daily bread,
on their Christian names.
I cleared myself, I sacrificed my blues, and you could complete me, I'd complete.
Who's she singing to? David Geffen? Graham Nash? Ah, oh, Joni. They all love Joni. So pretty and talented. She's still a Canadian queen. 16 after 6.
His eyes were the color of the sand in the sea. And the more he talked to me, you know, the more he reached me. But I couldn't let go of L.A.
City of the fallen angel.
Love you, Joni. Gordon Spark. Neil Young from Harvest, Needle, and the damage done. So much junk out there, man. Help your brother and sister.
I caught you knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby, can I have some more? Ooh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Gone, gone, the damage done.
Just remind you of anybody? I can think of a few people along the way. I wish I could reach back and pull them. Pull him here now.
I sing the song
because I love the man.
I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone. But every junkie's like a set in.
Remember this from my disco days back at 96 Fever in Clearwater. I remember this song when it came out. France Jolie, Come to Me. Let's disco.
Come to me when you're all alone and feeling down. Come to me when there's nobody else around. Come to me.
Salute to Canada. They love the disco in Canada too. Cold up there. Fun to get out to the club and shake it a little bit. Shake off the cold. A little of the Macallan. Oh man, we're gonna dance. Woo! Here we go, everybody. Come on, you guys. Like we did way back then. Throw in a little syncopation.
Come to me.
Is the dancing helping?
I will keep you safe and warm.
Come to me.
I will shelter you from the storm. I'm not one to pretend. But why can't you understand that I love you?
201-209-9368 if you have Canadian disco memories to share. 201-209-9368. Shout out to Nardwar, one of the listeners, saying, hey, we miss you, Nardwar. There's my coffee. I couldn't find it. I'm feeling kind of low energy. Lots of Canadian suggestions coming in. Chilliwack. This Franche Jolie sounds good after all these years. ATF, All Terrain Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms says all disco sucks no matter how high you are. You're consistent, ATF. You're curmudgeonly. But you're welcome. I got to spin the magic wheel here. I'm out of song. Got no crossfade capabilities. Everybody all right out there? You enjoying the show? 23 after 6. More music to come. I think Rick James is from Canada, right? He played with the Minor Birds there with Neil Young. Or the Knickerbockers, whatever they were, Neil Young. So I did Rick James hanging around Canada. Give it to me, baby, damn it.
When I came home last night, you wouldn't make love to me. You went fast asleep. You wouldn't even talk to me.
I need mid-show comments, and I'm getting nothing. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Here's your chance to criticize or praise or be somewhere in the middle, neutral. Talk about Canada. Phone lines wide open. 24 after 6. Rick James. Dusty Show, Clay Pigeon, anybody there?
Yeah, good evening, Clay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What do you want to say? What do you need to say to me and to the listeners?
Well, I need to say to you, we miss you at the morning show.
Really? You were enjoying those morning shows?
Oh, loved it. Really, right in the day. Everyone else, you know, I mean, they all have their own personality, but yours, I think, is really what's needed in the morning.
Thank you, man. I'll be on, not next week, but the week after, May 1st through the 5th. Will you tune in?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have it on every morning, so.
Yeah, now where are you calling from? What city?
We're in West Lafayette, Indiana.
What do you got to say, West Lafayette, to everybody up in Canada? You got a Canadian memory real quick?
Yeah, actually, one of our good neighbors, when we lived in these townhomes over here, he was Canadian.
Yeah.
Good guy, Jeff, entomologist. In the wintertime, we both had dogs, and we were the only neighbors that really, not of our own fault, but would communicate and hang out with each other. There was actually a worn path between our two doorways in our backyard that went to the communal area.
You formed a bond. You formed a bond with that Canadian man.
Oh yeah, Jeff, great guy, big heart. You know, good partier. Played board games.
Can you slowly sing this as I turn you down? I gotta go. We got time constraints. Just slowly sing. Oh Canada, can you do that? They're still calling. Look at that, Bob. It's a tree. See you, Bob. Love you, man. Twenty-seven and a half minutes after 6 on this 420, April 20th, 2017. Clay Pigeon with you. Been here for many years, although sometimes I still feel like the new guy. Gosh, over 10, like it's 12 years now. Unbelievable. I'm almost 60. Unbelievable. Where's the time go, you guys? Jesus. It's all good, though. Life's Rich Pageant. R.E.M. got that edited, what, Shakespeare or something? Life's Rich Pageant. I love that. Here's Aldo. Aldo Nova as our salute heads northward to Canada. Life is just a fantasy. On the 50-watt-1000 flamethrower on the Hudson. Today, WFMU, you're listening to The Dusty Show. Making great alternate choices, geez. The Guess Who, so many I've forgotten. Gordon Lightfoot. Out of sight, by your kids, from the man in the white. It's never quite good enough, is it, people?
Feels all right. Power of pleasure in your nose tonight.
Come on, Aldo.
See the girls hit the faces and cry. Like some girl that makes you wonder why.
Like a knife, like a knife.
Can't you see what this crazy life is doing to me? Life is just a fantasy.
These are the full-bodied, just downloaded cuts to Hot Downloads on Dusty. Am I the only one loving the lead? The tasty lead player, Aldo Nova. And this sounded good when we used to wear our leg warmers and our spandex pants and our cheetah skin covered shoes and backwards girl's shirt with puffy shoulders and lip gloss and rouge and eyeliner and about a half can of Aquanet extra super hold. We'd purse those lips out and, ah, geez. Out there in the Midwest, we wanted to be Cheap Trick and Bowie and all that all rolled into one. We failed gloriously. But, man, we gave her a shot. Phone's ringing here. I didn't give her the magic spin while I get it together. Hold on, you guys. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. This is Coney Hatch on the Dusty Show. Devil's Deck. Dusty Show, anybody there?
Hello, Clay?
Yeah.
Whatever you're playing, play it. Disco does not suck.
I don't think so either. Did
right.
Did you think so at the time, or did you come around to it over the years as your mind opened up?
No, I was doing it in the 70s and early 80s.
You were? Were you out there with a cool, like, John Travolta outfit on, honestly?
Once I got over that. But my point was, it's really good. I'm getting home from work, it's really good.
You're feeling
really
good?
Good show. And my memories of Canada was the Rainbow Bridge by Niagara Falls. That's all I know as a little kid.
Rainbow Bridge. I think of Jimi Hendrix. That wasn't there, was it?
Yes, it was.
Was it really?
Yes, by Niagara
man.
Falls.
There's so many things I'm not playing. Lover Boy, somebody said. So many great ones. Anne Murray. All the great Canadian artists. I'm glad you liked the show. I was ready to bail out on it. I was feeling...
And not to mention, who's the guy who sings? The Canadian guy.
Yeah, who sings? The Canadian guy who sings. Corey Hart.
No, I know you're talking about, but I'm thinking about Gordon Lightfoot.
Right, he's so good, isn't he? And what am I doing? I could play me singing Gordon Lightfoot.
Exactly. Well, you're playing a great show.
I love you, man. Thanks for being nice, okay?
Hey, Clay?
Yeah?
A shout-out for Ginny, that's all.
For Ginny?
Yeah.
Can you sing that name as I turn you down? Ginny, Ginny, Ginny?
Hey, right. It's Jenny, Jenny.
Love you, man.
Thanks.
Nice guy. This is Coney Hatch on FMU, man. I'm pushing it today. I'm trying for you. I may not get there. Somebody might have to pick up the slack. Hardy will do it. Hardy at 7. Kevin Nutt, Dave the Spaz, nickname. Stan. My brothers. The TNP, the Thursday night package. It's just getting started.
Take all you've got. Hail so.
Here's a little Gordon Lightfoot for you. Carefree Highway to Canada.
Picking up the pieces of my sweet shattered dream. I wonder how the old folks are tonight. Her name was Anne, and I'll be damned if I recall her face. She left me not knowing what to do. Carefree Highway, let me slip away on you. Every highway, we've seen better days, the morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Every highway, let me slip away on you.
Gordo, man, 24 in front of 7. I'm glad you're with me on the Dusty Show. Appreciating your comments and...
Turning back the pages to the times I love best. I wonder if she'll ever do the same. Now the thing that I call living is just being satisfied with knowing I got no one left to blame. Carefree Highway, I got to see you, my old flame. Carefree Highway, seen better days, the morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Every highway, let me slip away on you. Searching the fragments of my dream-shattered sleep. I wonder if the years have closed your mind. I guess it must be wanderlust or trying to get free from the good old faithful feeling we once knew. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Carefree highway, seen the better days, the morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Every highway, let me slip away on you. Let me slip away on you. Every highway, I got to see you.
Dick says this sucks.
Every highway.
God bless you, Dick, for your honesty. I know that's how you feel. A lot of people like this, Dick. So just gonna have to wait until I play one you like. For some people, that can be a damn long time, Dick. Muscle power, that's all it was. That's all Danny had. He wasn't smart, he was slow to tell you the truth, but he was strong. If he got a hold of you, he could hurt you, and he would. He took some pleasure in it, though. I guess you couldn't say he was completely without empathy. Danny was a tough kid from Guthrie. He grew up hard without a mama. She died giving birth to Danny, and his daddy never got over it. Sometimes when Danny's daddy was drunk, well, he'd beat Danny and even sent him to the hospital once, and the county almost took him away, but his daddy had begged and cried to the judge, even got down on his knees and pleaded. Oh, Your Honor, please, please, don't take my boy away from me. And they'd nearly done it then, but in the end, well, I guess that old judge, he softened up, didn't he? Yes. And he even reached down and handed Danny's daddy a candy to give to Danny. Danny's daddy ate it in the car afterwards, eating it slow so Danny would want it, his
Daddy was cruel like that. "Now, boy," he said, "you almost got yourself put in a reform school. He's gonna take you away from me. You hear me, boy?" he said as he reached over and cuffed Danny so the boy would pay attention. "By God, you listen to me, boy. You listen to me." By the time Danny was 10, he was already big, almost as big as his daddy. Danny's mama had been a big gal, 220 pounds. Danny was already pushing 200, and he wasn't even 5 feet tall yet. None of the boys teased him, though, because he was quicker than you'd think, and he was strong. Pick up tree branches laying on yards, and he'd just break them in two, break them over his forehead, anything, he'd do it. They called him crazy, but he wouldn't, not really. He just hurt inside because his daddy was mean and his mama was dead. The girls laughed at Danny. They weren't scared of him, but he was scared of them. So terrible shy he was. His face all pink and big when they laughed at him. He'd cover his ears to stop the horrible noise, and they'd laugh even louder. You know how kids are, so cruel when they're young. One day after school, Danny was home alone, and he found his daddy's whiskey in a drawer all hidden, tucked away. And Danny'd always wondered what it might taste like, that whiskey. Pretty bad, he reckoned, but he was bored, and it was bad of him to do it, and bad was fun sometimes. It was better than nothing, so he uncorked it and took a swig. And his face pinched and puckered up, and he breathed in hard like something hit him right in the gut. And then he breathed out, woo, making a locomotive whistle sound. And he laughed a little bit. He felt something, didn't he? Dizzy, maybe, funny. Danny felt funny. Things seemed funny. This was fun. The whiskey was fun. So he took one more sip, and he corked it, and he tucked it away in there so Daddy wouldn't know. And when he stood up, he felt woozy. It was hard to walk straight. He laughed a little again, and he walked outside. Danny's dad died right about then. That would have been about the time he drove his old Saturn into the side of the Hy-Vee. Danny's dad had a heart attack behind the wheel. It was lucky he didn't hit nobody. He died right then and there in front of some people. No one really knew what to do. Of course, they called 911 right away, and Billy Pardee, the assistant manager down there, puffed himself up and tried to take charge, but he didn't know squat about CPR or anything. "Shouldn't we do something?" people were saying, and old Maudie Turner was crying, and it was a terrible scene. Folks knew he was dead. His eyes was open. Wasn't breathing. He's dead. When they told Danny, they were ready for him to cry, but he didn't. He didn't smile or laugh or nothing, but he definitely was not that upset. Hell, he was glad inside his daddy died, wasn't he? Mean old daddy. Now he wouldn't have to get hit no more. Wouldn't have to get screamed at all the time. They made him go to the hospital and look at his daddy, and that was pretty bad. That was weird, and Danny didn't like it. Then they took him out of there, and he spent the night over to Helen Peterson's house while they decided what to do with him. That was a nice night for Danny. The TV was on, and Mrs. Peterson let him do whatever he wanted to do. She fed him donuts and chicken and made him a milkshake. He watched Gomer Pyle and Mannix and all his favorites. He slept next to Mrs. Peterson. Yeah, she smelled weird and old, and he tried to keep away from her, but the bed was small, so He could smell her breath and hear her snore, and he could feel a hairy old leg against his now and again. In the morning, she gave him chocolate milk and pancakes, and they spelled words with plastic letters. And then they came and got him. Then he was sent to a state institution for children in Anamosa, which had a reputation for being a bad place to be. They said the teachers is mean and old, and they locked you in there. They locked you in. And the kids tried to escape, but they'd catch them and whip them, and all the time there was crying and wailing echoing off the old stone walls. Lucky for Danny, there was an old priest in the institution by the name of Father Bigsby. Father Bigsby was an old boxer and a drinker, and he loved to laugh. The kids generally liked him because he was nice and he didn't get too preachy with the preaching. He'd let you play rubber kickball and he'd smoke a cigarette with you now and again. He liked to whistle and sing and break into a little jig now and then. The teachers and the guards, yes, there were guards. You couldn't get out of there. It was a prison for all practical purposes. The teachers and the guards, they didn't like Father Bigsby too much just because he was kind and they were mean, and his goodness made their badness seem extra bad, so they hated him because deep down inside they knew they was bad. Father Bigsby taught Danny to box. "You gotta toughen up those hands, kid," he'd say in his Irish way. "Toughen them up there, Danny." And Danny'd whine about how much it hurt and shake his hands in front of him like a little seal or like he was palsied in some way, and Father Bigsby would frown. Danny hated those frowns. He supposed because his daddy was dead, well, Father Bigsby kind of took over that role like a father in a way, and he was a father after all. Soon Danny was punching hard all day long, hitting the big bag, the speed bag, hitting the walls, hitting himself, hitting anything at all because he knew how now, but mostly because it felt good. Why did it feel so good to hit things? He knew why. He was hitting his daddy in the face every time he punched a bag, hitting his drunken, dirty, screaming face. Bam, bam, bam. He hit the bag harder and harder. And Danny's body changed. The fatness fell away from him. His muscles grew and he got taller. He became a man. He became a brute. He became a boxer. And all the while, Father Bigsby was beside him, saw him through his first 8 prison fights, and Danny won them all. He was beating tough kids, too, big kids, city kids, beating them bad. But he was humble about it. He never bragged. One day they let him out of the institution. He was 18, and they gave him a suit of clothes and $23 it was. He felt as rich as a king, and he headed straight for the nearest diner and bought himself a plate of meatloaf, some mashed potatoes and carrots. He had a couple of Cokes and a piece of lemon meringue pie, and then he just sat there and had his coffee, and he read a comic book that some kid had left behind. "You like comics?" The waitress said. Shirley was her name, said so on her tag. She and Danny got to talking, and pretty soon they got to dating, didn't they? And, well, one thing led to another, and Danny got a job, and Shirley got pregnant, and they had a little boy they named Dan Jr. And all was good enough, too, indeed, until, well, Shirley got a bad flu, and she got pneumonia, and she died. And that just about killed poor Danny. It just about killed him. He had a couple of friends from work that helped him through it, but they didn't know him all that well. They didn't know what he'd been through, and now Shirley was dead. His beautiful Shirley. his mama left him and daddy left him, and now Shirley. And Danny looked down in the crib at little Danny Jr. and he started to cry, and all that pain came out of him, years of it, like it'd been bottled up in him all that time. And he sobbed, and his arms rocked the crib as he cried. Little Dan Jr. just fell asleep to that rocking motion. They'd come for the baby in the morning. Danny knew he couldn't watch him by himself. He had to go to work. He was all torn up inside. And just lately, well, hadn't he? He'd been starting to drink some whiskey. Lots of whiskey over time, just like his daddy did. And Danny'd get real frustrated inside and smash the bottles on the sidewalk when they's empty. "Goddamn you," he said, looking up at the night sky and all the stars spinning because he's so drunk. "Goddamn you, Daddy. I love you." And the tears and the rain, well, it got hard to tell them apart. They did come for little Dan Jr., and they found Danny curled up in a ball and lying in the corner of the baby's room. Danny was dead. He'd taken a fistful of barbiturates. Who knows where he got them? It didn't matter now. They scheduled a little memorial for him, and just a few people came to say goodbye. One of them was old Father Bixby, Benton. Faded by time as he was, his voice just a hoarse whisper as he approached the casket and looked down at Danny. "Bless you, my son. Enter now into the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus, I pray, take this poor child in. Take him in, Lord, and love him. Just love him." And Father Bixby broke down in tears, and they led him away. Dan Jr. lay in a Spartan crib, no blanket, no toys. A thin little ray of sunlight filtered into that bleak nursery where he lay with other little orphans. Dan Jr.'s outstretched hand found the sun ray, found the warmth in it, he found the light, and he found the love.
This is Canada Today. Justin Bieber with Skrillex and Diplo. Where are you now? Justin Bieber, so good. Wife and I were watching some old Osmonds last weekend. We just sat there going through Osmond clip after Osmond clip on you. We were crying one time when they sang a cappella for Anne Margaret, all the Osmond kids and little Jimmy. We were crying. My wife loves Justin Bieber, and she's brought me around to him too. He's fantastic. Justin. Hey, Canada, baby. I personally love Canada.
I gave you attention when nobody else was paying. I gave you the shirt off my back, what you saying, to keep you warm. I showed you the game everybody else was playing, that's for sure,
that's for sure.
And I was on my knees when nobody else was praying. Oh Lord.
My wife's so cool. It's easy to rag on these kids, Lindsay Lohan and Justin, when they get in trouble. She goes, honey, they're just kids. That's what they do, you know? And I thought, man, I sure did. Man, I know dancing's not enough, but it's all I got. It's all I got for you, you guys. My dance. Like Gregory Hines. I'm a moonwalking. I'm a really bad moonwalk. Crossfade capabilities. I'm running strictly manual here as I transition, with just a couple of minutes to go, into a home recorded version right off vinyl of the Guess Who from the Flavors album with Dominic Troiano on guitar, late period. This is Long Gone. That's me. Hardy's next. That's the Dusty Show. I'll check you next Thursday night at 6. We'll do it again. Maybe get out on the streets.
Try and criticize. Every day and every night, you're just a drag. You are working from a point of depression. Find you're slipping.
Love you too, Sweeks, Drew, Corey, Melinda, Ken from Hyde Park, everybody on the ACU. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Remember, I'll be on mornings May 1st through May 5th. Wake and Bake, 6 to 9 a.m. Join me then.
I guess you've always been a power-hungry specimen. You were raised with rank in mind. I'd gladly give away everything I've ever owned for the chance to stab you from behind.
Love you, Canada. That's it for me. Waiting all week for this hour of radio.
Who in the hell are you to try and criticize? Still learning how to form an opinion.
Thanks, Corey. Long gone, Clay Pigeon will be long gone. Bend me, shape me, any way you need me. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. RG, take care, everybody. Have a great upcoming weekend, and always remember.
Welcome
to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, and journey to a place where you can truly be yourself, because the radio doesn't have eyes. Well, mine has eyes because I've made it look like a little robot by gluing ping pong balls onto it. And I also made little hands that come out from the side. I made them from rubber bands and popsicle sticks. Look at you, little radio robot. It's your friend. And so am I.
Hey, you guys remember my grandma's jam?
Yeah, doesn't it go like this? Bon ka chon ka ta bon ba bon bon.
Yeah, very funny.
Bon ka bon bon ka down ka ding.
Okay, I get it. Bushy, enough. Anyway, you remember my grandma's preserves?
Yeah, the ones you try to recreate every morning by combining five different jams?
Exactly. Well, I don't have to do that anymore because she sent me the recipe and I made some. Here, try it.
Wow, that's really good.
That is good. You should sell it.
Butchie, not everything has to be sold.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to make money from it.
No, because you like your job at the boondocks so much.
The loading docks. But maybe you're right. It would be nice to not have to pick up boxes for a living. Do you think anybody would buy it?
Of course. You'll still be picking up boxes, but you'll make $1 million.
Lou, don't listen to Butchie. It's very hard to start a business like that, and especially a food product.
Yeah, if something's hard, don't do it.
All I'm saying is, why not just enjoy your grandma's recipe? Maybe share it with friends.
You love not getting paid. Listen, we can't live off his loading dock job salary forever. At some point, he'll be a cripple. Then what do we do?
These are good points, Butchie. But even if I wanted to sell Grandma's jam, I don't know the first thing about it. Like, how do you get a barcode on the label?
You're getting way ahead of yourself. Listen, I got a pal who can take your idea, make it a product, market it, distribute it all so fast you won't even realize it was ever your idea.
Can you set me up?
Oh, this doesn't sound good.
You stay out of this, Peter Kropotkin. I'll show you how capitalism works.
Okay.
My buddy's name is Bill Sargko. I'll give him a call and he'll be right over.
All right. It's ringing. Hey, Bill, it's Butch.
Yeah, man, I got a pigeon here. I mean, a friend here who has a product he wants to sell, and it's actually really good. Yeah, he needs your help. So if you could...
I'll get it.
So if you could just come over and... Oh.
Where's the young man with the idea?
That was fast.
There's no flies on Bill. In fact, I'm leasing them to a fly circus.
Well, listen, my friend here made some of his grandma's jam, and it's really good. He wants to sell it, maybe. Here, have a taste.
No need, no need. I trust you boys. And it doesn't matter if it's made from fly circus and navel jelly. I can sell anything. Now, tell me about your product, and I'll help you set up a plan.
Well, it's my grandma's jam.
First, we need a catchy name. A name is the most important thing.
Oh, that's a bad sign. Well, we call it Mama Brigitte's Loquat Ugly Fruit Jam with tamarind. That's the secret ingredient.
No, 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 that won't do at all.
But that's its name, or just Low Ugly Jam for short.
No, it has to sing. It has to make the customer think it's ambrosia that will solve all their problems and give them vitality and beauty.
It's for your toast.
You're thinking too small, my boy. It's for the very fate of your soul.
Well, it's all natural, so how about calling it Nature Preserve?
Butchie, a nature preserve is where they have wild animals.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Tell me about your granny.
Well, she's from the islands.
The islands! Irie, man, we be jammin'.
Oh, no, 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 it's not Jamaica. Oh, Lord.
We live in Kentucky, so how about Kentucky jelly?
Oh, gee, I never heard that one before.
Shut up, it's funny.
I like the island angle. What else do we know about Granny?
Well, she's really sweet and wise, and she helps people a lot because she's a mambo.
A what?
She's a voodoo mambo.
Voodoo! Voodoo jelly! It's magically, devilishly good.
Oh, no, 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 no. None of that bigoted misinformation about her tradition. I'm tired of the stereotypes from people who don't know anything about traditional religions. She helps people. She's like a psychologist, a healer, a friend, a guide. It's not some devil magic. That's so offensive. Maybe I don't want to do this. Wait. We can work around it. A name will come in due time. What's important is that we are selling a feeling. And the first step to selling a feeling is to sign a contract. But I'm not even sure I want to do this. Not sure. Did you hear that, everyone? She's not sure.
I heard that.
I understand. Why help strangers?
What?
Why help poor, unfortunate, lost strangers fill a need or find peace of mind by sharing your gift and your saintly grandmother's beautiful legacy?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I understand. Every man for himself, right? You go ahead and hoard your gift. The rest of the world will limp along without it.
I don't want to seem selfish.
Lou, this is not good. And who is this here?
Oh, that's Hardy. He's anti-money.
I'm not anti-money. Well, look, sometimes your friends don't know what's best for you. Sometimes they're jealous even and don't want you to succeed, to realize your dreams are both changing and helping the world and gaining more resources so you can take care of your friends and family. They don't see the long game like you and I.
Yeah. All right. Well, where do I sign?
Right here under the picture of the lollipop. Then you just hand the recipe over to me, and in a few months, the checks will start rolling in.
All right.
Six months later...
Package for Lou Register.
Oh, that's me.
Sign here, please.
Okay, thanks.
I like your dog.
Thanks.
What dog?
Oh, man, it talks.
Go to hell.
Butchie, he thought you were a dog.
It's the hat.
What's that?
It's a case of my grandma's jam. Mr. Sargko said it hits the market tomorrow.
Well, open it up.
Here, use my knife.
Jeez, Butchie.
Oh, it's my grandfather's. It's for stabbing guys.
Oh, no. Voodoo jamming. Spread the magic.
Oh, no.
Looks good. I told you he knew what he was doing.
I told him this was offensive. This is not who we are.
Lighten up. To sell stuff, you have to lie a little. Otherwise, you can't convince people to spend their hard-earned money on crap.
My grandma's jam isn't crap.
I know, but there's lots of other jams out there. You gotta stand out and pretend you're special.
But she is special, and so is her jam.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lou.
Why didn't you warn me, Hardy?
Okay.
Well, you've learned a valuable lesson today.
Thanks, Butchie. You're no help.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not sure there's much we can do. You signed a contract.
This is a disaster, Hardy.
Well, there's one upside.
What's that?
I switched the recipes.
You what?
I gave him a bogus recipe. I figured he'd give you a check up front and try to cheat you, so I gave him a bogus recipe.
Good thinking, Butchie.
So unless people like a jam made from toothpaste, cilantro, and marzipan, the joke's on Bill.
Well, then let's just put all this behind us.
Or under us. Give me the crate. I'm going to use it as a booster seat.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you're here. I need some help getting dressed. Oh, no, it's not what you think. I'm perfectly abled. I'm just overly self-conscious. I was thinking of hiring a PR agent to help me get dressed in the morning, but I can't afford one, so I'm glad you're here. So help me out. What about this hat? I'm thinking this one makes me look like Charles Ives, and this one makes me look like Eric Satie. Either way, I'm conveying that I want to look like a avant-garde composer. You say, well, you're not one. Yeah, but I think people would like me better if I were. Well, why do you care about that? Well, I want to be loved and accepted. And as we